Good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Ian's Place. My name is Ian, and this is my place. And I welcome you all to make some call-ins. Obviously, you're on the website. I'm on the road again, so hopefully you'll have the call-in numbers in front of you. And we're broadcasting from bbsradio.com, station number 2, every Sunday evening at 7:55. I want to tell you about a movie I saw this week. It was highly recommended from one of my best friends, actually. And it was called August Rush. And it was about, I'm not going to give away the movie, but you know, it was about this little boy who had learned and taught himself how to listen to the music, the universal music in me.
I hate to break
in.
I hate to break in here.
Sorry?
I was just wondering if you're getting a click on the line. I hear a click. You hear that click, click?
I don't hear a click.
Hmm. All right. Well, we'll just
How
keep
am I
going.
Sounding?
You sound great, sweetheart. How do I look?
You look great, John. I love that shirt.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'll let you keep going.
No, that's fine. So, in case anybody didn't hear Don, I wasn't really talking to myself. So anyway, this little boy, he's about 9, 10 years of age, has learned to tap into and listen. He listened. And that was his message to everybody that couldn't hear the same music that he heard. You just have to listen. And I thought that was such a great sentence. You just have to listen.
BBSradio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge. Brain.
Hi, I'm back. Don's having some technical difficulties at the radio station. Anyway, where was I? Oh, we were talking about this little boy in the movie August Rush, and he tapped into the universal music, and he could hear, like he could get music from somebody walking down the street or a bird singing or somebody tapping sticks or trucks going by. He just pulled it all in and he turned it. He manifested within his brain music. Lovely, lovely music. And everybody thought he was a little bit on the weird side. And he would say to them, all you have to do is listen. And that is such a wise old, it's a wisdom. Whoever came up with that sentence and speaking about universal music and universal laws, that you just have to listen, was a very wise old soul in my view. So anyway, but the question is, what are we supposed to be listening to? So I'm saying to you just for a moment, do you hear that? Can you get real quiet? Do you hear anything? Just quiet, quiet, quiet. That's the silence. That's what you want to get to for a while. That's what you want to listen to. It's the silence. But most people, your brain is chattering, chattering, chattering. 50 miles an hour of any and all subjects, just over here and over there, under the table, over the refrigerator. You know, their mind won't settle down because all this information is just going crazy, and it's driving them crazy. But what some people don't realize is that's a habit. Chaos in your mind is a habit, because that's all we've known, is that chaotic chattering. I bet you 99.999% of this world knows only chaotic chattering. They don't know what a stilled mind could bring to them. So in order to shut down this constant chattering, you have to get by yourself, and you have to go within yourself. And we've heard that so many times. Go within, go within. But where do you go? Once you start not closing down your mind, I don't want to say that, but using soothing thoughts in your mind and not allowing, and you do allow it, and you can unallow it, the constant chattering in your head. Once you learn how to manifest that chattering outside of your thinking, a whole new world that you've never known opens up. And that once the chattering goes, you become calmer and calmer, and we get calmer. So that's what we're listening for. We listen to what our body is saying, because that's what the body was designed for. It's got signals. It starts allowing us to look at the environment around us. We start staying in the moment. We start looking at the leaves on the trees and the birds up in the air. We start looking at the grass, how green it is, because we don't have that constant chattering that takes us away from the moment that we could be so enjoying. Because all that chatter is mindless chattering. It doesn't do you any good. It takes you out of the moment. And again, 95% of that chattering is something that has happened to you in the past, because that's what we think about. We either think in the past or we think in the future. Most of it's in the past. We keep on regurgitating. We keep on going over and over what we've thought about, what we have done, and who we're going to say should have said to this person, or maybe I should have handled that better, but we just keep on regurgitating all this stuff. And if we're not regurgitating the past, then we're thinking so far in the future. I mean, our brain thinks years into the future. It thinks weeks into the future. And so you can't stay in the now. You can't stay in this moment to really enjoy the moment. And once you get rid of that chatter, I guarantee you, you are going to start looking. Like right now, I'm looking at this wall in my hotel room. I'm going, whoa, it's got a very nice molding on it. But had I been thinking outside of this moment, I'd never see this molding here. But so what we start listening to is our heart. What's our heart telling us? What are those goosebumps that we get telling us? What is our gut telling us? What are our feelings telling us? We don't even listen. We go, oh, my gut says. But we never contemplate that. We never really get into it. But anyway, so to go within, what happens is when the chaos is gone, it starts allowing us to become the powerful gods/humans that we are. But there's a catch here. When we go within, that means we've got to be with you. You have to be with yourself a lot. And that scares a lot of people. I was one of them in my earlier years. I couldn't stand being with myself. If I'm not in a crowd of people, when I was home, I was on the phone. I just couldn't be with me. It was a very scary situation. You know why? When we get with ourselves, we have to start thinking. And usually this thinking process isn't a very happy process for many of us that can't be with ourselves. So I had, when I started my journey, and I had decided, I made the decision to go within, just to be with me, and not use other people as a crutch to make my life be better. I wanted to make my life better for me. And so, in doing that, I had to start, meditation's good, or just being quiet, or sitting on the couch, you don't, or taking a walk or a drive. I do my best thinking on driving. But what I had to finally come to is that I had to deal with the uglies in my life. I have been asking and praying and hoping and wishing, and I cut numerous deals with God to make my life better. I said, I will do anything. I will do anything to stop the pain in my brain and from the overkill, because I couldn't stop thinking about the uglies. The only relief I got, I wasn't a drinker, was to go talk to other people. And then one day a voice came to me and said, are you willing to go within? And I said, yeah, sure. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do anything. What do I have to do to go within? And it said, well, you have to stop the chaotic thinking. And I said, fine. I can't help that. It's always in my mind. I can't help that. It won't stop. What do you expect me to do by myself when all this chaos is just coming out? And it said, well, if you want your life to be peaceful, you must go within. You must be by yourself a lot. There was no way out. I had to be by myself. I was getting that picture. And so I said, well, you know, if I have to be by myself, why don't you just shoot me now and get it over with? If you think my life is painful now, I can only think how painful it will be when I start focusing on all the uglies in my life. That can only be pure torture. That's exactly what I wanted to get away from. I didn't want to go into. I wanted to get away from the uglies, not go into them. And the voice said, you must go in to get out. I must go in to get out. I thought about that. It made sense. Because I've been carrying around all these uglies for my whole life. I was 38 years of age. And I wasn't better off from the day that I was born, because my life, my family of origin, and my marriage was chaos. I did not know that you could have a peaceful life. I didn't even know till I was 38 years of age that you could actually improve yourself. I'm not kidding. I didn't know that. And it was Wayne Dyer's The Erroneous Zones. You know, you have those 10 defining moments. Well, Wayne's book was my first defining moment. That I read that and was like, wow, I can really improve myself. I don't have to argue day in and day out. I don't have to be hateful. I don't have to throw sarcasm out. I don't have to receive sarcasm. So that was a pretty defining moment. And that's when I decided for me that I needed to go in so I could get out of the garbage. Was it easy? No, it was not easy. Did it eventually work? Absolutely. And that's a true story. I really had to deal with my uglies. And once you start peeling those uglies away one at a time, and it's not like you really have to do all these weird things. What I did was I just said, okay, this was a bad thing in my life. And I looked at it standing back as an observer. I said, okay, that happened, and there's nothing I can do to change that right now, or probably ever. And I can't touch it. I can't feel it. I can't bring that part back. But what I can do is address it and say, you know what? I've learned a lot from you. Me going through those ugly experiences, I gained wisdom from. But now you are not going to torment me anymore. I am letting you go. And when you come back and you want to play, I'm going to send you back out. I'm going to focus on the mold, molding on the wall. I am not going to allow you to stay in my brain. And I would have to send those uglies away many, many, many times. But it finally worked. Every time a situation came up, there was nothing that I could do that had happened in my past, I would stay in the moment. I would start focusing on the grass. I would start focusing on the pink carnation. I would focus something in the now. And once I made that a habit, my uglies were all gone. And I can now work on the peace. I can now work on my serenity. I can now work on me, the real me. Because all the uglies aren't the real me. They never fit. They didn't say, when you're all in this chaos, you're going, God, get me out of here. This is not me. This is not what I want. But yet we stay in there while we're telling ourselves, this is not what I want. Go figure on that one. Why would we want to stay in a bad situation? Because our mind is saying, screaming, get out of here, let's go. And you're going, I will go as soon as it gets better. Doesn't it? We will say that to ourselves. As soon as this bad situation gets better, then I'll get out. That day never comes, does it? Mine didn't come for over 16 years. Until I address what I was doing to myself. I had to look hard at myself and say, why are you in this situation? Why aren't you out of it? And then you have all these litany of excuses of why you will stay in a relationship where you're being belittled, you're being cussed at, you're being punched, you're being spoke to in sarcasm. Why did I stay there for over 16 years? Because I thought it was going to get better. And I was doing the same actions over and over again. And I think we've all heard about the definition of insanity. Doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. Doesn't have to work that way. You have to change you. You have to take charge and then follow through. follow through that you are changing your thought process. You are changing. You're going to become peaceful. It doesn't take that much. At the beginning it is. I'll give you that. At the beginning, because you're so used to thinking in certain terms, ways, you're so used to feeling upset all the time. Peace? Are you kidding me? For the first 38 years, I didn't know what the word peace meant. I would hear it all the time. I'd hear it in church. Peace be unto you. And we'd go home and argue after church. My parents went home and argued every day, every Sunday after church. They would have the hugest knockdown. Well, they didn't hit, but screaming and yelling and cussing, and they just walked out of church half hour ago. So I didn't know, and I had to teach myself, because nobody else is going to do it for you. No one else is going to be able to turn our thought processes around. We're the only one that can do it. Each individual is the only person in their life that can teach themselves how to view and how to feel better than they're already doing. And it takes courage. So along this journey, I had to learn how to trust this power within me. And it took a while, because I would trust it. And then whatever scenario that I was expecting didn't happen, the trust would fall, because I wanted to trust this thing within me so badly. And when I expected something and it didn't happen, I blamed it. I didn't blame me. I blamed it. And it kept on happening. Expect failure, expect failure, expect failure. Why? Because I was changing the scenario. When something was happening in front of me that I didn't think should happen because of my request, oh my God, it's happening again, I'm failing. And so then it turned to the failing part. So what I had to do was to stay steadfast. No matter what I saw in front of me, I had to stay steadfast and allow that moment in front of me to pass. And maybe another moment that didn't seem right would pass. And so I learned eventually that I was going to see a lot of different scenarios before I got to mine, the one I was really expecting, as long as I stayed on that path. I had to learn to listen to my heart and then follow through. People say, oh, my heart believes this always. In the most biggest ways, I know what my heart is telling me, and I just know that it's true. And it would be true. But most people, again, change the path when their heart, what they feel with all their heart, doesn't happen in the time frame that they think it should happen. I had to learn to listen to my gut feeling, and then be okay with that and stay steadfast with that feeling. I've learned to think outside the box, and so it kind of surprises a lot of people. Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. I go, yes, just stay with it. Be with it. Don't try to change it. I've learned to trust my gut. No matter what my eyes see, I know that my gut is right, and it will appear. Again, most people believe that their gut feeling is right, but they don't stick with it because they see things that they don't think should be in the scenario of what their gut is telling them, and so they change it. They change it to a different scenario instead of being just steadfast. oh, my gut's telling me this. I'm not going to change the scenario. I am staying with it. I'm steadfast. It will happen. I had to listen to my goosebumps. You know, we all get them. Goosebumps, I've learned, means that something is true, that something is right. And a lot of people get scared. My goosebumps show up most of the time when I'm watching, like, ghost documentaries or something of that nature. And so the scary part comes, my whole body shoots out in goosebumps. But that it was telling me, which I have come to believe and trust, that those entities are really there on the screen. They're trying to come through, that it's true. And so there's a lot of different scenarios where I get goosebumps, and I say, okay, this is telling me something. What is it that I need to see with my goosebumps? And the best one is our sixth sense. Our sixth sense we all have one, and it's just something that comes out of nowhere, and we're going, oh, wow. Don't we say wow when our sixth sense shows up? Wow. Why? Because we rarely get it. Why? Because we don't allow it in. Because when something comes into our scenario that we think is from a sixth sense, oh, my God, how cool is this, but it will never happen. I mean, the but comes at the end of the sentence, but it will never happen. So you have to learn how to listen to that sixth sense. And most of all, you have to learn how to listen to yourself. Because yourself knows and wants to protect you. This power, this God, you. There's no separation between you and the big it. God, Allah, Mother, Father, Principle, Yin, Yang, whatever you want to call it. It wants to protect you. And it's when you get into a big argument or a sad situation or something, it's saying, no, we don't need to stay here. Let's leave. And you hear it. You hear, we got to get out of here. And then your human side stays in the fight because you want to be right. You want to make your point. Instead of walking out of a situation that doesn't serve you or your children or your families, you will stay. Dr. Phil calls it right fighting. You are going to stay and yell and scream and shout obscenities. We all do it. I used to do it. Just to prove a point. Instead of just saying, you know what? Doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong. What matters is that I'm going to be peaceful inside. I am leaving the situation. Elvis has left the building. And that's how you become peaceful. You stop the anger, and it's your choice. One of my daughters recently went to a seminar, and the speaker said, you know, you can't help your feelings. I mean, your feelings are your feelings. But you can choose how to react to them, which I think is a really good way of putting it. You can choose how to react. You can choose to stay in the argument or get out. We can choose to stop the sarcasm for ourselves. And if anybody fires back with sarcastic remarks or belittling, I mean, I just don't get what we do to each other anymore. I mean, I used to do it, granted. I mean, a long time ago. It hasn't happened for a long time. But now I am so far removed from that, I don't get it. I look at people arguing and putting each other down, and I just shake my head. You know, if this is what you need to do, fine. But I don't get it, because this is the person that you love. This is the child that you love, that you want to nurture, and we'll yell at them. And that changes who they are. It's traumatizes children to be yelled at. I know. I was a screamer and a yeller myself. Oh, my God, if I could take it all back. I can't imagine somebody who's 6 or 5 and being screamed at. They've only been on the earth 5 years, 60 months. 60 months, and they're being screamed at by their parents or whoever else. They've been here for 60 months, and if you don't think they're not traumatized by being yelled at and belittled, I don't get it anymore. All right, I'm starting on a tangent. But anyway, back to learn how to tap in to you. I know you hear the voice. I know you hear, feel the feelings. When you are in trauma, you hear it. We need to leave. This isn't good for us. I know you're in pain, but if you go over here, if you stop this now, we can work on this so you don't be in pain anymore. How much pain do you need before you change what you're doing? You can't keep doing what you're doing and expect different results. You are more powerful than this. We all are. And it takes one moment to walk away from the pain. One moment. And you can do that. When you find yourself in a physically painful situation, you can walk away. You have that choice. And once you walk away, once you can walk away again. And it gets easier every time. I refuse, you say. Stay in the situation. I would love to talk to you as soon as we both calm down. But no, we are. We're more powerful than this. We are so powerful that we can stop it. We can stop the pain within ourselves, in our broken hearts, and our feelings. We can stop it in a moment. I say in a moment. The process. But a lot of people can do it. They get it. They get that they're doing it to themselves. And that's the truth. You're doing it. We do it to ourselves. We manifest every day 24/7. Think about this. We manifested our jobs. We manifested, for most of us, we manifested the cars to get us there. We manifested the people who we think we're going to be with for the rest of our lives. We manifest food on the table. We manifest our cigarettes if we're a smoker. We manifest the alcohol if we're drinkers. If we're pot smokers, we manifest that. If we're heroin addicts, we manifest that. I mean, it might be a little bit of trouble to get into it, but we do eventually manifest it. You can't be a heroin addict without the heroin. You cannot be an alcoholic without the alcohol. So we manifest this. And how do we manifest it? It's our thought process that brings it to us. We bring it to us. I need a fix. Here comes the heroin. I want to feel good. Here comes the marijuana. So we manifest 24/7. I want to go to the movies. There we go. So is there this thing that made us, this powerful God, if you will, that plays bad jokes? Psych. Does it give us the ability to dream, daydream what we want? Does it give us the ability to visualize? Does it give us the ability to say, oh, my God, if I had this, my whole life would change? Does it give us that ability, that thought processing ability, and then go, psych, sorry, you can't have it? Would that be cool? Yes, it would. But we're the ones that stop it. It's staying here. This is what you got to go. do to get your daydream going. This is what you got to do to get your passion bringing to you. This is what you got to do. And you're going, that's all I got to do? And it's going, yeah, yeah, that's all I got to do. That's too easy. No. We, do you know how many times we say no to that thing? Hey, listen, if you go down to the here and you spend $50 for this little piece of instrument and then you go over here, I mean, it tells you exactly what to do step by step. And guess what we say? No, I don't think that's going to work. And it's going, yes, it's worked. Trust me. Trust me on this one. And we said no. And it gives up. It goes back into its closet until you start daydreaming again. It'll pop its head out of the closet and go, oh, you're daydreaming. You want that to happen? You'd really like that, wouldn't you? Let's get that thing done. Come on, I'll show you how to do it. Oh, I don't think it's possible. Not for me. And so it's not for you? I thought you were just daydreaming about this. Oh, I was. But, you know, thinking about it, I don't think it's for me. I don't think I'd be able to achieve it. Well, how do you know? You're not even taking the first step towards it. It's saying, come on, come on, come on. And you're going, no. But you can't achieve anything in chaos. You cannot achieve your dreams in a chaotic mind. Because the chaotic mind is the one that's saying, no, it can't happen. You have to focus. That's what the word is all about, focus. That's why we invented it. Listen to the definition, focus. Not with anger, because anger's chaos. Focus with the knowledge that you can create anything that you want. And you already do 24/7. You focus on the things that you would really, really, really love to have. And I'm telling you, you really, really, really get them. Really. But you can't say, oh, this is a fantasy. This is just, oh, you know, I'm just thinking. It's never going to happen. I don't see how. And this thing inside of you is going, I know how. I know how to get your dream in front of you in a physical reality. And I know you've all heard it. Every one of you listening tonight has heard that voice say, I know how. Me, 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 pick me, pick me. It's raising its hand. And you say, no, you can't do it either. And it says, okay. And it goes back in its closet. But I'm telling you, if you learn to listen, you just got to listen. And then you take the next step and get rid of the chaos. And only you can do that. Only your thought process can do that. And you start thinking your thoughts, peaceful thoughts. Doesn't that sound hokey? But it's true. It's true. Once you get the chaotic thoughts out of your brain and replace them with peaceful thoughts, as hokey as it sounds, your life will get calmer and calmer and calmer. I can hear you out there now. Oh, there's no way. I can hear you. Don't even email me. I already heard you. You're saying that if I change my thinking, my life will get calmer, and I'm saying 100% yes. I can barely put food on the table. My husband's an alcoholic. He's mean-spirited. I can barely put clothes on my children, and you're telling me all I have to do is change my thinking and everything's going to be hunky-dory? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Exactly what I'm telling you. Because your thinking sets up your life. It may not set up your husband's life, you know, but you can exist. You can coexist. And not have what he does, or she does with a wife, faze you in any way, shape, or form. You, after a while, somebody can fire one insult after another at you. They can throw zingers and they can do, it won't faze you. It will bounce off of you. But it's only if you want to do it. And that's why we can manifest our everything else in our lives. We do it. That's all we do is think and have it show up. Think and have it show up. So I'm opening up the phone lines to anybody that wants to call in. I would really like somebody call in and talk to me. I'm ranting, and I hate when I rant. But if there's anything you want to talk about, and I have some knowledge on the subject matter, I would really like for somebody to call in. I was going to tell you something about a letter that I got. I hate it when I don't write down notes. Let me see if I can find it. Give me a second here while somebody calls in. Hold the line. I guess I can't find it. But anyway, that's the secret to this whole thing, is for everyone to get calm. Calm down. And when you calm down within yourself, your life will follow. Your scenarios all around you will follow your thought process. Your household will become calmer. Your children won't cry as much. We can't do anything about the husband who's drinking or the wife that's drinking. That's their issue and that's their reality, and they have to deal with that. But it doesn't faze you anymore. Because we have decided to take complete control of our lives. Complete. There's no partial in the word complete. What we can do right now is start pretending. We can imagine. We're going to pretend to what we want to happen. We are pretending to the scenarios that we want to happen. That's what pretending is about. We're going to image what we want to see. What images do we want to see? In the beginning of my radio program, I talked about film strips. And there's a blank frame, and then there's a little line, and another blank frame, and another line. And what we do with our imagination, image, same thing, is we stamp on those blank little squares, the frames, what we're going to experience. This is how we do it. Just visualize. There's a reel of 8mm film in your head that's all blank. And you're going to image each blank one. And that's what you're going to do. And then when those little, you know, those little holes in the side, they get in front of your eyes, because it's the brain that sees. There's a light that goes through the film from the back of your head, and the eyes are the lens. And then everything in front of you is your movie screen, your personal movie screen. You are seeing what you are thinking in your head. I think I'm going to go to the store. Wow, here's a store in front of you. You image that on this little blank frame on the reel. I think I am going to go have a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Wow, you're there. You imaged it. You saw it in the brain first. And then it showed up on your movie screen. If you stand up, do a 360, that is your movie screen. your personal one. And you can put anything on that movie screen that you want. Just stamp the blank frame. I'm going to go to the dentist on Tuesday. Bam, you imaged it on the blank frame, and in Tuesday, you're going to see yourself inside of a dentist office. I wish I had the words to tell you what I have learned. I'm not talking through my hat. This is how I live my life. And this is what I know, absolutely, unequivocally. This is how we create our life, by thinking. Our brain sets it up. Once it's set up, you will see it in front of you. Boom. You will see the mass, the matter, coagulate in front of you. All right. Hi, caller. Thanks for saving me. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I'm just curious to know. You were just talking about manifestations, and, you know, you mentioned how simple it is to manifest a cup of coffee or a grocery store. And, you know, all these things are, you know, I guess relatively easy to manifest for most of us. But I'm also wondering about, like, the bigger pictures, and how come it seems like those take longer to get to come to fruition and, you know, like...
Because your first knee-jerk reaction is, oh, it can't happen. It's too big. It's a, oh, it's just a dream of mine. It's just wishful dreaming. You've tagged it already on the onset. Oh, my God, I'd love to do this. Maybe in a couple of years. And it takes 2 years, because that's how you've just set it up. You've just set it up 2 years in front of you. That's how far we think in front of us. And that's what fate is all about and coincidence is all about. There's nothing, no big magic here. Fate and coincidences are thoughts that you had years previously that are now just showing up in your physical world on your screen. Because you set them up years ago. One day, in a few years, I will do this. And then a few years down the road, you're going, oh, my God, you know what? I've been thinking about this for years, and now I'm doing it. Duh! You set it up that far in advance. And that's why it is better to live in the now so things can happen now. The past is gone. There's nothing you can do. Get it out of your brain. The future's not even here yet. We don't even know if 30 seconds from now it's going to show up in our life. So when we live in the now and we get really good, I mean, this is like learning how to bowl or golf or play tennis or becoming a doctor. It's a process. And you're the only one that can determine how fast you get it. How fast that you get how powerful you are. How fast that you get that you can create anything you want. How fast do you get that? Most people don't for a long time. I'm guilty. It took me a long time to figure that out. But now that I got it, it's simple. It's very simple. Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, it does. I guess, you know, for myself personally, I can honestly say I've been, you know, definitely practicing the manifesting part of the bigger picture of what I'd like to see. And I've definitely been trying to practice not giving it a person, place, or thing. But still feeling like, you know, I haven't really been putting time or limits on it, but still really not seeing what I've been focusing on manifesting.
What did you just say? Say the sentence you just said again.
Okay, I was just saying that I feel like I'm not really limiting my...
Say the exact same sentence. Yeah, say the exact same sentence you just said.
There's no way. I can't do it.
Case in point. You just said it. I am not saying it. Okay.
It's not present in my life at this moment in time.
Okay. It's not. You got it. You're right. It's not, is it?
No.
You're right. You're right.
So you're saying I'm manifesting that as well. So
you just said
then,
it.
So then how do you correct that thought process? Or what direction
stop
do you go?
Stop saying those things. Stop saying that sentence. No person, place, thing, time, or event, period. Like I just said, you stopped it because you, again, just said that sentence that you just said, I'm not seeing it. And you're right. You're not seeing it. Why? Because you're saying, I'm not seeing it. It's all to do with the verbal. It all has to do with thinking because we want to make it our way. And the universe works faster than our way. We keep on slowing it down. We have to still allow this. We have to let it go. Let it go. Anybody out there in the audience?
What's your recommendation for manifesting your reality as far as a thought process that you think?
Let it go. Don't taint it. Don't keep revisiting it and taint it. Because as soon as you revisit it, oh, you know what? I wanted to manifest a trip about 6 months ago. And I wanted it to happen now, 6 months from then. And I'm not seeing it. But you don't know what the next 3 minutes could have happened. You don't know that. You don't know what could have happened a half hour from now. But because you said, I am not seeing it, you stopped it totally. You may have only been 3 minutes away from your manifestation. And we'll never know now, right? Right?
Right. So I guess I'm a little bit confused because earlier you were just talking about focusing.
Right.
On what it is that you want. But at the same time,
you
I feel like you're saying,
there's nothing wrong with focusing. There's nothing wrong with focusing. My focus is here. This is what I'm experiencing. Don't put any future past in this sentence. This is what I am experiencing. I am experiencing a vacation in Portland. I'm experiencing a vacation in Portland in my time frame. Okay? But what happens is we go back and then let it fly. But what happens is it has to get away from us. It has to leave us to do its thing. But what we, most of us do, is we hold on to it. And then we start revisiting it. And says, okay, in my time frame, I want to be in Portland. But let's see, what should else I do? And so you bring it back to you. And you revisit it and you change it and then let it go. And then you keep on bringing it back. And there's this really, I'm going to find this quote. It's in the Bible and it's something to, the Father within you, the God knows what you need even before you do. And it wants to plant all these great gifts on you. But we get scared because we think our wants and desires are not going to show up in the time frame that we want them to show up in. And so we start getting afraid. We start tweaking the thing that we want to manifest the most. We keep revisiting it and tainting it. And once we taint it, it's starting from scratch again. So when you focus, this is what I want to do. I'm going to go to Portland, period. We already know the big picture. Let this power within you handle the details without you tainting it anymore. Because as soon as you said, you were right, and you stopped it. And we don't even know what could have happened 5 minutes from now. You could have gotten a phone call from somebody and said, hey, I've got this thing. I need to go to Portland, and I can't. Here's your tickets. Go use them. You don't know what could have happened in the next half hour, the next 3 hours, or tomorrow, because you've stopped it. You're not seeing it.
I also think it's like a natural human experience to kind of revisit, you know, it's like and what do you recommend when this thought decides to revisit you? Like your
go away.
Your ultimate outcome.
Go fly away. When I want to manifest something, I focus on it as little as possible because it's done. Once you think about it, once you say, this is what I am, the great I am, this is what I am doing, it's done. It's over with. You just have to wait for it to coagulate in the physical world. That's all you got to do. But when we revisit it, I guarantee you 99.99% of the, when we bring it back into within our reality, within our body, within our brain, we will taint it to the negative. Diane, I don't want to use that word. We will taint it to where it doesn't happen. We will throw a word in there like can't, won't, shouldn't, well, maybe, and what happens if. We do that with our manifestations. We can't just let them go and fly. But once you do one and let it fly and it shows up, it's a really wonderful thing. And then the next one and the next one and the next one. It gets easier as you go along. I think my time is up. I want you to, let's see, my time's up. But the best part, the best thing you can do is to be at peace within yourself. And when you are at peace, then you don't taint things with chaos. You don't sprinkle the chaotic stuff on it. You're just totally at peace. And then peaceful things start creeping into your life and more and more and more. And wouldn't it be nice if we could all just be peaceful with each other? What a wonderful thing to do. So anyway, caller, thank you for calling in. I must leave.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.
Oh, Ian?
Yes.
I have a famous quote I would like to read to you.
Please.
Everything I did in my life that it was worthwhile, I caught hell for.
There you go. That's a good one. There's nothing wrong with catching hell. Huh? There's nothing wrong with catching hell. It gives you wisdom. You have earned a wisdom gainer. Chalk one up. Every time we go through some trial or tribulation, what we do is we just learn wisdom. That's it. We gained wisdom for use in the future. I must leave. There we have another guy coming on. I love you all.
Thank you.
I'll see you next week. Yes?
Thank you, Ian. Love you.
I love you, too. Until next week, be at peace with not only yourself, but with your neighbors and anybody that you may encounter. Give them a peaceful smile. Until next week, I'm signing off. It's Ian. Take care.